Today is Pentecost, so not surprising, our reading, which Joyce is going to read to us, is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. Thank you, Joyce.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They've had too much wine.'" God bless the reading of his word this morning.
Thank you, Joyce, and congratulations on all those names of the places. So I said, today is Pentecost Sunday. Sometimes we seem to see the coming of the Holy Spirit as something extra to the gospel. You know, you believe, you receive salvation, you're baptized with water, and then there's this extra thing, something to do with the Holy Spirit. In fact, one of our friends who trained at Bible College and was preaching regularly once said to me that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was only for special Christians. This was just as we were going out to Africa as with Wycliffe Bible translators, and we'd received the Holy Spirit. We've been seeking that, and he said, "Well, it's all right for you people like you," but that's not true. He did come to change his mind, I'm pleased to say. That's not what I read in the Bible. But right through the gospel, we read about the Holy Spirit. Right from the beginning, in John, in his gospel, tells us, this is the passage from John chapter 1. "Then John gave this testimony, 'I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I've seen and testify that this is God's chosen one. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit." So right from the beginning of the gospel, Jesus came to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And throughout his gospel, John tells us that Jesus was preparing the disciples to expect the Holy Spirit. For example, later on in chapter 14, he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever," referring to the Holy Spirit. Then at the end of his gospel, Luke tells us that after the death and the resurrection, Jesus told the disciples that they would be his witnesses throughout the world. But first, they must wait for power to descend on them. Luke chapter 24. "Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. To stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. The Father is going to send what he's promised, the Holy Spirit. And so our story today is how the Lord kept his promise. He is a promise-keeping God. Pentecost. It's an odd name. The Feast of Pentecost wasn't a Christian festival. We didn't invent the term Pentecost. In fact, it was more like a Jewish harvest festival. Moses had laid down that 7 weeks after the Passover, the people were to bring a sheaf of wheat from their new wheat harvest to offer to the Lord. In fact, in my diary today, it says that today doesn't say Pentecost, it says Shavuot. Today is Shavuot. Don't test me on the pronunciation of that one. I went on Google to get a definitive way of pronouncing it, and I found 5. So I'll stick with Shavuot. So the Jews today are celebrating Shavuot, or weeks, as Hebrew for weeks. And Pentecost, the festival of weeks, came 7 weeks after Passover. 7 sevens are 49, yeah. Plus one, because it's the day after that, comes to the 50. And 50 gives rise to the Greek Pente, or 5, but Pentecost comes from Greek 50. So it was all bound up with the Jewish harvest festival and then translated into Greek to give us Pentecost. So Pentecost was 50 days after Passover, which means 50 days basically after Easter, because Jesus was crucified at the time of the Passover. Crucified and then raised from the dead by the power of God. And he appeared during those 50 days, or the first part of them anyway, he appeared to his disciples and others in various times, as Luke says, teaching his disciples and revealing more to them during that time. And then he ascended into heaven, and we had Ascension Thursday before last, I think it was, the Ascension Day. We don't celebrate that much as Baptists, but perhaps we ought to. But before ascending, or maybe as he was ascending, he told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they received power from on high. He had told them that they were going to be witnesses. He had told them that through them the gospel was going to be preached throughout the world. But before they did that, he said, wait for the power from on high. So that was what they were waiting for. The disciples were there in Jerusalem waiting for the power from on high. They didn't know when it was going to come. But then, as they are waiting, all these Jews come from far and near to celebrate weeks, to celebrate first fruits, to celebrate the wheat harvest. So lots of people are coming in. It wasn't just any old Sunday or Sabbath day. They were coming in to celebrate from all around the world. In fact, we are told in our reading just how many places they were coming from. That's why they were there, to celebrate the festival of weeks. And these were God-fearing Jews who were coming to worship, bringing their thank offerings, their wheat sheaves, first fruits, to God. So that's the background. So at that time, when once again Jerusalem is bulging with people from around the world, at that time, God acts. And that's what we read. So along with the Jews from near and far, the disciples were also waiting in Jerusalem, waiting as instructed. And suddenly, this is all in our reading, suddenly there was the sound of a mighty wind. Doesn't actually say there was a wind. It says there was the sound of a mighty wind. Now you probably remember that wind and spirit, we have different words for. But Greek, which is what Luke was writing in, doesn't have different words. It's the same word, pneuma. We use pneuma, of course. Pneumonia, pneumatic, various other ones. Delini will give you a whole long list of those. But it means breath or wind or spirit. And, suddenly there was the sound of a mighty wind. And what seemed to be tongues of fire came to rest on each of them. It's a bit scary, isn't it? I don't know however that would go down if that was to happen this morning. It doesn't actually say they were tongues of fire. What seemed like tongues of fire came and rested on them. So don't worry about your hairstyle. The Lord does that again. It's just the best way he could describe it. You know, sometimes we don't have the words to describe things, so you do what best you can. But then something else happened. Number one, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And number two, they began to speak in languages that they had not known before or ever learned. We use the word tongues, but that's a bit archaic these days, just languages. They began to speak in languages that they had not known before or ever learned. That was the second thing. The first thing, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, then they began to speak with these languages. It's a bit scary too, isn't it? You're sitting there next to your friend or standing or whatever you were doing, and suddenly they start speaking in some language. You don't know what it is. And they didn't know what it was either. They'd never heard them speak that before. But the Holy Spirit was moving. And as they began to speak, it didn't go unnoticed. I don't know if they were all speaking at once, or there were so many of them that it was spilling out into the courtyard, but it wasn't long before people in Jerusalem noticed. Particularly noticed, it's the God-fearing Jews who had come from far and wide to celebrate Pentecost. They noticed. They noticed because coming from all these different places and speaking a whole multitude of languages, they suddenly heard these Jews, residents in, well, Galilee, not far away, they found that they were speaking their language. How did that happen? You can see their puzzlement. Then they discovered they could understand what the disciples were saying in their own language, their mother tongues, as we might say. So this was a most remarkable event happening. You just imagine it. You go somewhere on holiday and they're all speaking some language and suddenly they're speaking English to you. Oh, that's very good English you're speaking. It's not got any accent or anything else. And when did you learn English? English? I've never learned English. But that sort of event. But what did they hear? What were these disciples speaking about? They weren't just discussing the weather, as they might if they were speaking English. They were proclaiming the wonders of God. That's what we read in verse 11. And they wanted to know more. This got their interest. They didn't seem to be educated people. They weren't from the university or anything like that. They were just Galilean. They were just common people, fishermen, whatever But suddenly they were speaking their own language, without an accent, I assume. And they wanted to know more. Well, most of them wanted to know more. Some dismissed the whole thing as drunken revelry. They just heard a noise. In fact, they didn't even hear their mother tongue being spoken. So what was the most remarkable thing? What do you think about all those things I've just described happened? What was the most remarkable thing today, on that day? The wind? Yeah, that was remarkable. The tongues as a fire? Yeah. The multiple languages? Yeah, they were all remarkable things. But it seems to me the most remarkable thing wasn't any of those. The most remarkable thing was the change in the disciples. This was a radical change in the disciples. Up to that point, there had been a fearful, puzzled bunch, hiding away from the authorities and wondering what Jesus meant when he said things. Even after the resurrection, and Jesus had been explaining it to them, they were very puzzled. In fact, even after the resurrection, one of them said, "Is it now the time when you will establish the kingdom?" They were still thinking in terms of an earthly kingdom, government being set up. So they were puzzled and they were fearful. But now, as the Holy Spirit comes upon them, they are filled with the Holy Spirit and there's a sudden boldness about them. And they are declaring not their own thoughts, but they are declaring the wonders of God. And to their surprise, they're doing it in language they've never known before. That's a big surprise for the disciples. But their boldness was the most remarkable thing that day. For they had received power, just as Jesus had promised. They had received power to be his witnesses and to tell of the wonderful things that God had done, things they had seen and heard with the Lord Jesus. And from then on, there was no going back. The small group of disciples expanded rapidly. In fact, by the end of that day, they'd counted 3,000 being added. That's quite a remarkable thing. But these were God-fearing Jews who had come to worship. And now they heard the wonders of God being spoken in their own language. And they sat up and took notice and came to receive Jesus as Saviour. So having received the power as promised, the disciples spoke with power. Many believed and followed Jesus. Some reacted with scepticism and unbelief. But the empowered disciples could not be ignored. Great story. What's the relevance for us in Oak Ridge Baptist Church in 2022? Without the power of the Holy Spirit, the disciples accomplished little, if anything. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, we shall accomplish the same. Little or nothing. With the power of the Holy Spirit, their lives were changed. There was a boldness for witnessing, a boldness for telling others the great things that God had done. With the Holy Spirit, lives were changed. Communities were changed. Is that what we're looking for? We're concerned about our community. The coming of the Holy Spirit changes individual lives and changes communities. If that's what we're looking for, then we will not get anywhere without the filling of the Holy Spirit. Does that mean speaking in tongues? Well, maybe, but not necessarily. I see no evidence. I don't see any evidence that Jesus ever spoke in tongues. I don't see any evidence that Jesus ever spoke in any other language except his mother tongue and maybe Greek as well. Aramaic and Greek, probably. He didn't speak in English. It might be a surprise to some people, but he didn't. So not everybody spoke in tongues or other languages. It's not the central point. The central point was the power of the Holy Spirit upon them to enable them to testify, to witness. Not things that they were thinking. These disciples just said what God had done. He said what they'd seen. What they'd seen Jesus do, what they'd heard Jesus say. That's what they didn't have to make it up. So what is central is the power to be witnesses for Jesus. To tell of the great things God has done. To tell of the gospel, the good news that Jesus came and lived and died, that we might be forgiven and established in loving relationship with God. For that's why we were designed and created. So, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit of the disciples, very relevant for us here. For without the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts, in our community, we will accomplish as much as the disciples did before Pentecost. Precious little. Which brings us to our 2022 motto. Fan into flames the spiritual God gift God gave you. In the full verse, as in the New Living Translation, which we took it from, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. That's, of course, Paul speaking to Timothy, but it's a reminder to us to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave us. But let's not stop there. Let's look at the next verse. For the next verse goes on. I'm going to switch to the NIV for this one. And to take our theme verse, verse 6, without verse 7, is cutting it a bit short, really. Here we go. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So fan into flames the gift God gave you. For the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. We're going to fan into flames. We need that power of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we will tend to be timid. Whereas the Holy Spirit within us will give us the power. Power, love, and self-discipline, Paul adds in there. And that's important. Power without love is scary. It's what you see in Ukraine at the moment. Power without love. When the Holy Spirit comes, he brings power, but love and self-discipline. And how we need, speak for myself, how I need that self-discipline, which I don't have apart from his Spirit within me. So let's not downplay the work of the Spirit in our church, in our community, in Oak Ridge Baptist Church, and be open to what he wants to do, that we might receive more. I don't think we have to wait. The disciples were told to wait. That was a particular time. But after that, the Spirit had come. So we don't have to say, okay, we need to sit around and wait. We need to receive what the Lord has promised us.